You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. And in our study, in our considering all of that which is in the book of Jeremiah for our benefit, we're in chapter 32, and remember now in God is encouraging Jeremiah and the remnant with Nebuchadnezzar in the city, destroying the city actually and everything, and Jeremiah sitting as a prisoner, but not much prisoner, because the king has been taken captive. And so things are in a very, very bad state of affairs. And in the process, God encourages them by way of writing. God puts it, he says to Jeremiah, to write these things so that the people may read and understand as they look back at Jerusalem leveled by Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to be encouraged. And the believer who lives through it should be encouraged. Now, having said that, and we looked at that, those wonderful statements in verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, and that purpose they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me. And we've taken time through each of those little expressions and words and terms so that we could try to grasp a little bit of the immensity and the fullness of what God is doing. God is going to give him a healthy, holy, happy sense of his wonderful person, God in his awesomeness. Not God as we think of him, as we want him to be, but as God as he really is, and to fear him. And all of it, as we shared last time, for the good. God is going to restore what Adam and Eve lost in the day you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. You'll die. And thus, Genesis 3:5, they knew good and evil. And from then on, life was one hard journey. Now, having said that, God is going to make it possible for them to enjoy back then what they lost in the Garden of Eden, to make it an enjoyment of what they should be having, a unique relationship to God. Now, with that in mind, verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Remember three times, good, good, good. Yea, I'll rejoice over them, happy for them, over them, as it pleases God. I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly. And I'm going to do so with my whole heart and with my whole soul. I'm going to do so. Now, God says something awesome and singularly there that is more than awesome, actually. God, what are you saying? I'm going to go, and I want you to know the surety, the secure and certain surety of what I'm doing. And how are we going to know for sure and certain what we're about you, God, what you say in your word? And I'm going to do so, if you're looking there, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. God's going to said, you guys can be sure what I'm going to do is certain as can be. Why? I'm doing it with my whole heart. That's what I'm doing. Now, what more could ever be done or said? If someone said to you, I'm going to do it, I'm committed to do it with my whole heart, wouldn't you be assured? What more could you say? Oh, I'll do it. No, that's not the same thing. I'll do it with my whole heart and my whole soul. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, and that, I just read the words. The words are somewhat easy to say and read, but the understanding of that is a little different. So therefore, God, we're asking you to help us in understanding what you're saying. I will with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Now you understand, we're going to pick it up a little bit later. You understand, God says to all the way through the pages of history, I want you to seek me with your whole heart. With all your whole heart, mind, and strength. God, why do you always put the whole heart? Why do you want the all of me? Why do you want all of me? Good question. Why? Because, do you understand, I'm giving you all of myself. Who's giving yourself to me, God? God, you are. We aren't talking about the king or a president or a billionaire. We're talking about God giving his whole self to me. Now, so that's what we're going to try to look at a little bit. And you would row and keep in mind, you have to turn to, and I take my watch off for safety. And keep in mind, if you would, that in Isaiah 43 and that, all those wonderful statements that you return to very often, and rightly so, God said, I am the only God, and I am the only Savior. I know no other. There is no other God, and no other Savior, and no competition, no confusion whatsoever. So when I tell you, I want your whole heart, and I'm giving you my whole heart, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm the only one. I created you and died for you. Now, having said that, I'm the only God, the only Savior, and I do it with my, and you want my whole heart. Now, at least a little, if I can, all kinds of ways to do this. Oh, that, and you're familiar, we're in Jeremiah. First Samuel, and in chapter 13, remember, put it together, God's looking for the whole heart, because he's going to give the whole of himself in an awesome way. And underline in big letters, it's a very personal thing. It's a very personal relationship. Personal, intimate, nothing like it. Personal. God, my personal Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, First Samuel chapter 13, you're going to recall, lock them together again in your mind. God is looking, Israel is looking for a king and the wrong kind. God is going to show them the right kind. And in verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue, that's under King Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after the standard of his own heart. God's giving his whole heart as the standard, and then he wants to reciprocate the whole heart of the believer. The whole heart of the believer, the whole heart of God. God's looking for the whole heart after his own heart, God's giving his whole heart and soul. And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which, because thou hast, that's Saul, has not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So Saul failed, David is there. And what else do you remember? Chapter 16, about David. God's looking for a man with his whole heart, after God's whole heart. Now, so when David goes, when God, Saul goes to the, Samuel goes, I should say, to the Jesse's sons, one of which is David, sliding down to verse 7, 16 and 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his own countenance, the big guys and older guys and everything else. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance as he appears to you, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord is looking on the heart. Why are you looking on the heart? Because God's giving his heart. The whole of God, hang on now, the whole of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, sliding over, if I can, in Psalm David. David had, was a, gave God his whole, David was a man after God's whole, his heart. So therefore, what are we going to find in this personal relationship? Over to Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, and your, all your psalms and et cetera, in Psalm 18, here's David's personal relationship to God. God's giving his whole heart, and David, what did you find as you came to know the Lord as your Savior, as a boy, et cetera? Verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. My little pronoun, my personal, my, we sing it, my country, tis of thee, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler or shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm looking, and I have, David, what were you conscious of? A very, very personal relationship to God. It covered all the bases. Covered all the bases. And David's even later going to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23. It's a very personal thing. It's a very complete thing. How much is God going to take, give him? He's going to be my shield, my power, my horn, and everything else. He's going to be. He's going to be everything. I am that I am. That's what God's going to be to David. With his whole, God's whole heart in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to do it. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and we shared it before, now, the problem you have to, if you think of it, now here you are sitting here, and there's the people over there in Nepal and the Philippines and Pradesh and each one of Yoko, each one, they're there. We share it sometime when we're praying, to remind ourselves, I can't be every place, every place. Every place is horribly different sometime. And sometime they're in prison, sometime they have no Bible, sometime they're all alone. Believers in terrible places. And all we can do is what? Know that God is there. How is he there? The same as he's here. He's able to be very personal to the boy, girl, man, or woman in prison, in one of those bamboo shacks or something, or in China. Very personal. Now, and now, I want you to, did you grab that and got that all in your head? Here's everybody everywhere, and God has all of this. Everything going, every thought, word, and deed going all at once. Okay. It's easy to grab, right? I understand it. Now, I'm going to help try to remind myself. What do us humans know? Well, it's no question Cain built a city, and the first humans back then were very, 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 very intelligent. And that's why Egypt was built pyramids and everything. It's gone downhill, but the research and everything has been saved and developed. As the human go downhill, our ability to store information and to gain information from yesterday history is piled up and piled up and piled up to its exponential, just like this. Now, having said that, so here's our global navigation system and that. I just shared it with you. I just remind myself of it. And now here we are. And if you have that kind of thing and you use it, here is the thing, and here's all the people in the world and the United States, and there they are. And anyone in California, New York, or here, you can push a button and you want tell them where you want to, tell them it knows where you are, and you tell them where you want to go, and it does everything. Does all that stuff in a most in an awesome way, and it does that. And when you make a mistake, if you go the wrong way, it interrupts and says, "Go back 3 feet and turn left." You know, and helps you to fix everything. And even beyond that, I was just reminded that it goes better than that. It goes in one way. It will help you when you get out of the car to take 10 steps and take 2 steps to the left and go through the door. I don't know what phones that is, does, but that does that. Apparently, people told me to do it. It doesn't. It tells you where to go walk, how to walk, where you want to go. Okay. Now, isn't that awesome? All of that, 5 billion people can push the button with all of that to make it work. And it makes it work personally for each one of them that do it. Do you understand that? Do you know how that works? Can you grab that in your mind that everyone in the world can do this? And it directs them personally. Blow your mind away. Try to conceive it. Try to figure out how to design it and put it in, you know, the one zeros and all that stuff. Wow! And it works. That's us humans, that we've made one of those things to be able to do it. And us humans did that in our technology. We live with it. The Creator God said, all we're doing is understanding the capacity of all the laws and natural laws that God had made possible. And there they are. And if we can do all such things, what on earth can God do? That's my question. What on earth can God do? So when God tells me he's very personal, I believe it. I believe it. I understand it. And we're supposed to practice it. He's very personal. As if you were the only person. The GPS or whatever you want to call the thing up there, we're doing it. That's very personal, isn't it? And I don't have one of them, use one of them, but I don't. That's why I always get lost. But anyway. But in the process of that, it's an awesome thing to have that. and it talks to you. It talks to you when you drive. It says you have 10 more feet and take a left, you know. Oh, wow. An artificial intelligence, big thing coming up, more and more artificial intelligence to think for us. Electronics to think for us. To think. And then we make God, here we make us humans be able to do awesome things, and we aren't even done with them. They have the James Webb telescope up there off of Mars or something, and now they got another one up there. They're building it. I don't know, 10,000 times bigger or better. And what's that going to do? Well, the James Webb up there, looking, it looks like through a sight or a telescope, and you see what's in the telescope, and that's what they see there forever. This one they're going to send up is able to see the universe. And able to have a huge view and give you a new view of the whole universe. That's interesting. It's going to see the whole universe at once. Wonderful. And before we make God too small and lose out on his personal business with you and me, watch. Picking up if I can. In the light of that, in the light of all of these things. So God, here we are looking. And in the process, you do what you do in the most personal way as we share together. You're our Lord and Savior. And you see us personally. Now I'm going to make personal better. How does he see you? He sees you in his Son. That's personal. He sees you in Christ. That's how he sees you. Saved, sanctified, set apart in all that his Son has made possible. That's how he sees you. So God, it's personal. How personal is it? It's as personal as if, that's why God will call us his children, many as receive him, to receive him, children, sons, my sons and daughters. I'm the Father. Wow, that's personal. Personal, each one of us, each believer, in a most wonderful, wonderful way, is so personal. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and you would know, again, if you can, just think of, a second, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, everything's become new. When did that happen? The moment you believed. God personally made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we find ourselves, believers, in Christ. So if you want to, if God's going to find me, he's going to find you in his Son. And not only that, God, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's going to find himself in you. God's going to find you in him. He's going to find himself in you. Personal. Nothing to it. Easy. For God. For us, it blows our mind away until we lock on to it and understand it's nothing for God to do that. He counts the zillions of galaxies to whatever they are. He counts them all as nothing. And he has a name for all the stars and all the galaxies. Just to do it. He weighs the dust in a balance. dust. It's gone. We're humans and we keep creating things and doing things. Yeah. So in the process of that, looking out, over if I can, please, back over to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, you'd recall, I'm going to ask another question, very personal. And why is it very personal? Because God is personally, actively exercising his awesome person over and in, around and about our lives. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. God's doing it. But we're doing it. We make decisions. We eat what we eat and go where we go and do what we do, and we do all that. But if our heart is right, like we've been sharing, you want to have happiness. Happiness is a relationship to God. You practice the relationship to God in a world that doesn't know that relationship, that loves darkness rather than light, and has no interest in you walking in the light, none whatsoever. It will oppose you on every hand. Now, so here's God's in. Now, God, why is it going to be counted on? Certain, because when we pray, and I'll read it because it's just to be reminded. We're praying, and we can pray, and we do all that, and we should do that. But when we pray, God, what are we doing? We're looking. We should be looking not for our requests to fix things and do things. We're looking for God to outwork his will in his way, in his assembly, in our lives, in the whole system that he's working with in spite of the world's darkness. Now, so verse 26, likewise the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'm just telling you, say, well, I know what to pray for. Well, good for you. If you get all the pieces. And I'll do that and so you see it, maybe. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for John's cancer or somebody, something. Okay. And understandably that. Now, when I'm doing that, if I'm doing that, I don't want to have a concern. Philippians 4. So I give it to God, so I'm not worried about it. I'm looking for God to outwork his will. So God, you're going to outwork his will. I have no idea about the human body, the human condition, the human circumstances, everything connected. I have no idea of 10,000 things that all connect about that cancer and about that person's living and dying. I have no problem. So when I'm all done, what do I know? I don't. And therefore, I'm going to look to God. I'm learning to do what he said. He said, you don't know. But when you'd go to people saying, oh, I know what to do. Say, yeah, good for you if you know. But you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea when we go out the door. We think we're going out the door, we're going to do all of that, but we don't know. We don't know anything, 1,000 things. Therefore, the pray. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, God the Father, the Spirit of God's ministry is outwork the life of Christ in the believing heart. And that's his job, that's his assignment. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, that's the believers, according to the will of God. He knows exactly what needs to be done, and he looks to God, the Father, to outwork And who's going to outwork it? He is. He is. He's going to do it. And so therefore, we get a little bit encouraged in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. We did that last time. The good. How can you know that? Because God's doing it. That's why you can know it. It isn't a hope so, or maybe so. No, it's a God's go so, yes so, certainty. Why? God's doing it. It's God's doing. God's the one outworking it. That's what he wants. God's personally involved in a most wonderful, wonderful way to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way in the believer's life, to put all the pieces together. There's a zillion pieces of the puzzle. The pieces of the puzzle are a big pile like a mountain. Who could possibly know how to begin putting the pieces together in a pile of pieces as big as a mountain? God can put all those pieces together. I can't put those pieces together. I don't even know where to begin. I don't have enough land to lay the pieces out. I have to look to God. Therefore, all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. And God's wonderful, wonderful purpose is to glorify himself. In verse 29, to conform us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God's doing it. Let God do what he wants. He's outworking it, and we're trusting him. It's very, very, very personal. What are you telling to Jeremiah? How do you encourage Jeremiah and the remnant? I'm doing it with my whole heart. Guys, I'm going to put my whole heart into this. Now, you can't ask for more than that. It's going to happen. Because I'm not messing around. I'm putting my whole being into this for my glory and honor. And you get pretty comfortable. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the Spirit of God has a wonderful, wonderful ministry assignment, and he's to go and outwork God's wonderful life made possible in and by the person of our Lord and Savior. And therefore, in the light of the context and everything, chapter 5, sliding down, if I can, to verse 17. I'll read verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. Don't let your mind get caught up all over the place. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, I'm going to give myself. Now, what if I'm going to fill my heart with the Spirit of God? I'm going to love God. I'm going to get God. I'm going to fill my heart. If I fill the glass full, how much more can the glass hold if it's full? God, the Spirit of God, fill the heart, the whole heart. You're going to give him the whole, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart. Understand? It's a whole business. So it isn't a partial come and go. Take it easy. Boy, it looks good. It isn't that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wholeness. It's a whole being involved. How many people do you know that are like the whole being? It's your whole being. That's why you can go to work and go to school and go home and the hard things and everything in life. Why do you do it? Can you do it successfully? Happy. Happiness is your relationship so that you can handle all this. So therefore, the Spirit of God's going to fill the heart, the whole heart in the whole way. Over, if I can, please, to chapter 2. Now, please note, in chapter 2, verse 10. For, now I'll read verse 9 so you see it. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. Unto good, measure good, good works. It's all about God restoring the enjoyment of good, enjoyment of God. God is good, and everything about God is good, and all that God does is good. Therefore, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before we were ever born or even existed, that we should walk in them. We should enjoy the walk. David said, back to David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're able to go, David. I am. God, what have you done for us? That Israel's looking. And we say to Israel, take heed to the church over there or wherever the Jewish dear people are, and in the light of all the anti-Semitism out there. And God, look to the believers. What's the believing assembly doing? It's showing the relationship to God. Jeremiah 32, 39 and 40, 41. That to have one way, one's heart, one heart, one soul, to fear God for good. Well, they don't know what that is. They don't even read it. But we're supposed to show it. That's our assignment, to show them. Because that's what Christ did. He makes all of it possible. And in this day of grace, we're showing it. We're supposed to be showing that. That's our job, if you want to call it that. Wow. Now, so all things work together for good. And sliding over to chapter 3. And you will note in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 19, 3 and 19. And we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That means you aren't going to understand it, just going to enjoy it. I don't understand. I have stuff like I try to read sometime on computers and all those things. I don't. When I'm all done, I still don't understand. I don't understand how you can do that. It's an awesome thing. Awesome thing. But there it is to use. God, we don't understand, but there you are to be exercised, our personal relationship to you. Therefore, in chapter 3, verse 20, it passes knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Fullness, fill. How full is the glass? It's full. It's the whole glass. It's the whole person. It's the whole God. It's always full. Never says halfway. A quarter way, a sip. Doesn't say that. It says with your whole. It's all of you. Oh, I don't want to give all of me. And that's why no one goes anywhere. They don't want to give all of themselves. They don't believe God would do that. They got their plans for their life. There's nothing wrong with the plans, and you do them. And you trust God to work things. If he wants it differently, fine. Now, so therefore, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamo that worketh in us. The Spirit of God is what? Doing more than you can ask or think. No, we try to think, I think, but I can't think. I can't outthink God. His ways and his heart, his ways and his thoughts are, Isaiah 55, higher than the heavens. I'm not going to outthink God. I'm not going to outthink God. I can't even outthink the computer people that do all this stuff. And ultimately that technology is going to turn around and is being used now by the enemy. A good thing, a wonderful thing, but the enemy got it. And the good guys sit back, and the bad guys, why do the bad guys win? Because the world is in darkness, and the world belongs to whom? The prince of the power of the air. The God of this world, that's why they win. Do you understand? They're ultimately going to lose, but in winning, they're going to lose. The devil thought he won when he crucified Christ, but he horribly lost. He horribly lost. Hey, gotta quit. Anyway, now. So exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God will quit. But you got the idea? That's a very personal thing. So when we talk about personal things, it's a personal thing in your life. So, and God wants to be personal. And if you don't let him be personal, you're a loser. That's why the church lost Revelation chapter 2 in that. They lost their first love. They lost their loving relationship to God. That's very personal. Wow. And that's why we shared together the other day in that, remind ourselves, God in 1 Timothy 1:11 and that, God is wonderfully a happy God. He's a very happy God. And he delights in being happy in doing what he does. And he's delighted in the fact to love us. And to personally attend to your life and mine if we let him. Personal. Well,